Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bharat Petroleum Corporation Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call, hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varatharajan Sivasankaran from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Seju. A very good morning to all the participants and the management. I would like to extend a very warm welcome to all the participants for taking time out to be in this call and the management for taking their time out to present us the scenario for 4Q. We have with us Mr. V.R.K. Gupta, Director of Finance, Mr. Pankaj Kumar, ED Corporate Finance, Mr. Srividya V., ED Corporate Treasury, Mr. Chandra Negi, GM Pricing and Insurance, and Mr. Rahul Agrawal, Chief Manager Pricing and Insurance. I want to hand over the floor to Rahul Agrawal for his statutory announcement, followed by the initial remarks from the management. Rahul, please.
Thank you, sir. Good morning. On behalf of the BPCL team, I welcome you all to this post-Q4 earnings call. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements that we will be making during this con call are based on our assessments of the matter, and we believe that these statements are reasonable. However, their nature involves a number of risks and uncertainties that may lead to different results. Since this is a quarterly results review, please restrict your questions to Q4 results. I now request our Director of Finance, Mr. V.R.K. Gupta, who is leading the BPCL team for this con call, to make his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rahul. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the post-quarter four results con call. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you were able to go through our results for the quarter. On the macro side, the IMF has revised global growth projections downward to 2.8% for 2025, from earlier projection of 3.3% and 3% for 2026, citing rising geopolitical tensions, trade disruptions, and associated spillover effects, particularly in the context of intensifying U.S.-China dynamics. Despite global headwinds, India is expected to remain the fastest-growing major economy, with projected GDP growth of 6.2% in FY25-26 and 6.3% in FY26-27, reflecting continued resilience and domestic demand momentum. India's GDP growth is expected to range bound between 6.1%-6.5% in FY25-26, as per different agencies' forecasts. In 24-25, India's inflation rate moderated to 4.6%. With global oil prices easing, the RBI has also lowered its inflation projection for 25-26 to 4% from earlier estimate of 4.2%. The INR and USD exchange rate fluctuated between 85.58 and 87.59 during Q4, averaging at around 86.62. In April 2025, the same averaged at 85.57, aided by weaker US dollar, China's currency devaluation, new tariff announcements, and sustained FI inflows. In terms of crude, the IEA forecasts a supply surplus of 840 BPD in 2025 and 2026, the second largest in the recent years. Meanwhile, global oil demand growth forecasts for 2025 have been revised downward by 0.1-0.4 MPD by major agencies, including the EIA, IEA, and OPEC, largely due to economic uncertainty from rising trade tensions. Brent crude witnessed a sharp seven-day swing in April 2025, triggered by fresh US tariff announcements and an unexpected OPEC+ production hike. Prices are expected to remain volatile, with Brent likely in the range of $68 per barrel for 2025. The EIA projects India to increase its liquid fuel consumption by 0.3 MBPD in both 2025 and 2026, up from 0.2 MBPD in 2024, underscoring India's leading contribution to global oil demand growth, primarily driven by rising transport fuel consumption. Domestic petroleum products demand grew by 4.3% in Q4, with petrol up by 5.9%, diesel up by 1.2%, and ATF up by 6.5%. Performance in Q4 of 2024-25: on the operation side, our refineries processed 10.58 million metric tons of crude, achieving 121% of nameplate capacity, and recorded the highest ever annual throughput of 40.51 million metric ton. The distillate yield stood at 83.59% and product cracks for gasoline Singapore moderated to $6.02 per barrel from $6.44 in earlier period. And for gas oil, $14.26 from earlier $15.05 per barrel. Accordingly, our refineries recorded a GRM of $9.2 per barrel in the current quarter at a premium to Singapore GRM of $3.16 per barrel. On the marketing side, our domestic market sales grew by 1.82% year-on-year during Q4 to 13.42 million metric ton with record annual sales of 52.4 million metric ton. We achieved highest ever sales for lubricants of 472 TMT, including sales from our retail outlets during the year. Under gas business, we have achieved a total sales volume of 2.2 MMT, up 13.9% year-on-year during the year for CNG, PNG and bulk sales. We also commissioned two LNG stations at company-owned and company-controlled retail outlet in BP Avinashi, Coimbatore. This particular retail outlet has generated a sale of 71 metric ton. We continued to lead our peers in retail outlet throughput, averaging 146 KL per month, compared to the PSU average of 130 KL per month, enabled by strategic market access and robust highway presence. In April 2025, domestic LPG prices were increased by 50 rupees per cylinder. This resulted in decrease in under-recoveries on domestic LPG. The current under-recovery per cylinder is estimated around 170 rupees per cylinder. The total negative buffer as on 31st March 2025 is 10,446 crore. We commissioned 1805 new retail outlets during FY24-25, expanding our network to 23,642 outlets. During the year, 5,546 outlets were solarized, bringing our total ROs, solarized ROs to 12,000 ROs. We are aggressively expanding our CNG fueling infrastructure with mechanical completion of 340 new CNG stations during 24-25, taking total CNG network to 2,370. We added 3,313 EV charging stations during 24-25, taking total EV network into 6563 numbers. We commissioned the Dimapur depot in Nagaland. This is our first POL depot in the Northeast, enhancing supply network connectivity in the region. In line with the government's aim to achieve energy security of the country with a target of reducing import dependency by adopting biofuels as one of the measures, we have achieved highest ever 19.35% of ethanol blending during Q4 24-25. We are expanding our foray into non-fuel services at our retail outlet through our in-house state-of-the-art cafe brand B-Cafe, where customers can experience gourmet coffee and snacks and at the propensity of EV charging gathers momentum. B-Cafe would offer customers an upgraded convenience during their wait time. We have commissioned 105 B-Cafes during 24-25, taking total B-Cafe network to 111. Updates on new projects. Bina Petrochemical and Refinery Expansion Project has made steady progress, achieving an overall progress of 11% against a scheduled target of 10.9%. All technology licenses and consultants have been onboarded and a process package for all units have been received. Detailed engineering activities are in progress. Key tenders have been floated and site enabling works are nearing completion. During the last quarter, the board has approved Rs. 6,100 crore towards pre-project activities including land identification, feasibility studies and environmental assessment for Greenfield Refinery Petrochemical Complex in Andhra Pradesh. The land acquisition, land procurement is in process. In continuing to the board approval in the previous quarter, BPCL and Sembcorp Green Hydrogen India Private Limited, a wholly owned subsidiary of Sembcorp Industries, have entered into a joint venture agreement to jointly pursue opportunities in renewable energy and green hydrogen and its derivatives projects across India. The strategic partnership aims to support India's energy transition and developmental goals. Further, BPCL and GPS Renewable Private Limited have entered into a joint venture agreement to establish compressed biogas plants across India. The joint venture will focus on converting organic biomass waste into compressed biogas by leveraging advanced waste-to-energy technologies. The joint venture plans to establish 8 to 10 plants across Bihar, Odisha, Punjab, Uttar Pradesh and West Bengal for the next few years, which offer significant agri-biomass potential for CBG production and aligned with BPCL's existing geographical allocation of city gas distribution. In a positive development for BPCL Mozambique project, US EGIM, with the largest project financing commitment of $4.7 billion, approved the decision to continue its participation in the project. Operator has informed that onshore main contractor CCSJV has issued full notice to proceed effective 18th April 2025 to three key subcontractors to commence full scope of work. This action is intended to facilitate full restart and force major resolution not later than by July 2025. Without further ado, let me guide you through the financial highlights of the quarter. The revenue from operations stood at 1,26,865 crore. The profit after tax stood at 3,214 crore. Against an estimated capex of 16,400 crore for the financial year FY 2025, we have spent about 16,967 crore during this year. The capital expenditure expected for FY 26 is about 20,000 crore. Our standalone net worth as on 31st March 2025 is 80,960 crore. The earning per share for the quarter is 7.52 and for the full year is 31.07. As of March 25, the debt equity and at standalone gross borrowing level is at 0.29. Overall standalone gross borrowings is 23,278 crore. We have current investments including oil bonds of about 12,490 crore. So the debt equity net of current investments at standalone level is 0.13. And at group level, the gross debt equity is at 0.63 and net of investments it is at 0.45. In order to reward our shareholders for the continued support, the company has declared a final dividend of 5 rupees per share in addition to the interim dividend of 5 rupees per share. This concludes my comments and we'll be happy to take your questions now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Probal Sen from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Very good morning, sir. Thanks for hosting the call. Firstly, on the refining performance, just wanted to understand the components of this $3 plus premium that we have done. Is it fair to assume that there is some inventory gain that was there in the quarter? And the second part of this question is, did we have, if we can just tell us what kind of Russian crude percentage was there even in fourth quarter in terms of overall crude sourcing? That was my first question.
Yeah. From the refining side, we don't generally calculate what will be the inventory gains because our average inventory is less than 1 month only. So we don't calculate any separate inventory gains. Generally in the same month we procure and we our throughput will be completed in the same month. So we don't calculate inventory gains separately. But however, yes, definitely the impact is mainly on account of Russian crude throughput and better refining margins. Q4, the Russian crude, 24% we have processed Russian crude out of the total throughput. Because in the Q4, the availability of Russian cargo due to the new sanctions, we could not get the full cargo requirement. So we could process 20%. But however, the current Russian cargoes, we are getting sufficient cargoes now.
So that number has basically gone up in Q1.
Yeah, right.
So the second question was about the expansion projects. You know, in terms of the thought process behind setting up yet another greenfield refinery, can we just get a little bit of sense of what the configuration could look like? What is the, what kind of crude sources will be there for the refining and what sort of, you know, timelines we are looking at for commissioning for the Andhra Pradesh greenfield project?
Yeah, let me clarify, this Andhra Pradesh project is refinery cum petrochemicals, not only greenfield refinery, refinery plus petrochemicals with large petrochemical intensity. We are working two configurations, either 9 MMT or 12 MMT, two trains we are working on it till the DFR is studies are going on. with a 40% petrochemical intensity we are planning broadly, with 4 or 4.5 refinery products and around 3.4 to 3.8 petrochemicals. That is the basic basic configuration at 9 MMT train we are planning. And parallelly, we are working for 12 MMT train also. Based on the final detailed feasibility reports, we will take a call whether 9 MMT or 12 MMT. So still the work is going on.
Okay.
Timelines, we are working 48 months from the date of FID.
48 months from FID, as in when it will be done.
FID we are expecting maybe end of 25, maybe in the month of December or November.
Okay, okay. One last question, if I may, sir. With respect to Mozambique, thank you for sharing that, you know, there is progress and there is forward movement. But we have also taken a 17 billion rupee impairment. Can we just understand what which projects this impairment relates to in this quarter?
Every year we do the impairment testing against our investment. Generally, if there is any project delay expected, because in fact we were expecting the removal of the force majeure in the last year itself, but due to various reasons, we could not uplift the force majeure, the operator could not uplift the force majeure. So due to which actually there will be slight impairment in the cash flows and valuation of mainly for Mozambique only. A little bit from the Brazil also, this has resulted into impairment.
And so the Mozambique. So now, sir, we are expecting the force majeure to be lifted sometime in this calendar year. There's a decent probability.
That is what even in the recent announcement by Total Energy's CEO also, they were expecting in the month of July, June, July, we are expecting. Because all contractors are onboarded, project financing is, they have agreed for continuing the project financing. There is no hurdles now. And local level security situation is much improved. So anytime the work can restart.
Great, sir. Thank you so much. I'll come back if I have more questions. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sabri Hazarika from MK Global Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So just a bit more on the refining margin side. So so we could understand, I mean, you have less than 1 month of inventories. But is it the same across all the refineries or for Bina it is higher? Because I think Bina reported GRM was close to $15. And if I look into the various cracks and all, so sequentially it has come down only. And OSPs have also expanded, Russian discounts have also fallen to 24%, like you have said, Russian crude share. So it's the same impact across all three refineries, or there could be like something related to inventory, especially on Bina?
No, actually three refineries configurations are totally different. Like for example, if you take Bina can take more low sulfur crude and more Russian Urals we can process. Whereas in terms of Mumbai refinery we cannot take more than 15% of Russian crude. So that all depends on the refinery configurations. So that is the reason always our Bina refinery GRMs are higher as compared to our own refineries of Mumbai refinery. That is one reason. And second is even the yields, if you see the Bina diesel yield is more than in terms of percentage compared to other refineries. So this always results into higher GRMs from Bina. And it is inland refinery, if you see the structure, RTP structure, the realization will be slightly higher in Bina as compared to Mumbai refinery.
Right, sir. So in terms of refining margin guidance, so if we consider these Q4 yields to, say, sustain over the next 1 year, so are we seeing like $9 GRM, or you think it could be like some other range, I mean some guidance on the GRM based on the current cracks?
Oh, it depends various factors. One is definitely the crude prices and spreads. Even if we assume the spreads will continue at the same level, one can safely assume $7 to $9 range of GRMs. If the spreads are continuing like this, if the Russian crude is available at 34%, if we can process and having a discount of $3 to $4, these are the basic parameters. If these parameters continue, then definitely one can safely assume refining margins will be on a better side.
Right, and $3 to $4 is the current discount of Russian? or is it like
$3, around $3, you can take 3.1, 2.8 around. Every month it varies. In the recent month it is coming around $3.
Right, and this light heavy sweet sour, that has also become more favorable now that OPEC is raising production, or with respect to impact on Kochi refinery in particular?
Kochi refinery, but definitely it will have a good impact on Mumbai refinery. Kochi, anyhow, we take more Urals only.
Okay. So Mumbai refinery will see some benefit from increasing OPEC production. Hello?
Yeah, right.
And just one small question on the marketing side. So you mentioned 170 rupees is the current under recovery, and I think LPG prices have also been quite sticky. It's not fallen to the extent crude has fallen. So how do you see the overall cash flow scenario, given that you'll be doing 20,000 crore number, and of course now you're making exceptional margins in petrol diesel, but any sense on are we at a comfortable level, or do we see debt going up or anything of that sort?
No, even if you see for 24-25, even after absorbing of LPG under recovery, our cash flow will be how much? Around 13 plus 2, 15, 7, 22. 22,000 is the gross cash inflow, and 4,000 crore we have distributed as dividend. 18,000 crore is cash flow, and our capex is almost 17,000 crore. So similar level, even we have a good capex numbers for next year of 20,000 crore, we are hopeful there won't be any pressure on incremental borrowings. Maybe 1,000, 2,000 crore here and there, maybe there may be incremental borrowings. And at least this year, we are very hopeful there should be some mechanism in terms of LPG recoveries.
Right, some action you are expecting in terms of LPG, right? Okay, yeah. Okay, sir, thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and congratulations on your results. So if you go back to the question on gross refining margins, sequentially the GRMs have improved across all the three refineries. So is it a function of yields, or is there some benefit from the secondary processing units or the crude slate? How exactly explains that increase in the 4Q margins compared to 3Q of FY25?
Yeah, a couple of things. One is, if you see Q4, our refinery throughput is almost 10.58 MMT. This is the highest ever throughput we have done. The plant reliability is much better as compared to Q3. There is no shutdown issues. There is no reliability issues. Our throughput is much better compared to any of the quarter. And second is, even the yield is on the lower side, but overall, due to the spreads, good spread and good diesel output in the entire product portfolio, we could generate a good GRMs during this year. And Russian discounts have helped in GRMs.
Okay, so if you look ahead to FY26 based on the current retail spreads and the current refining margins, is there any other lever you have in terms of growth in your EBITDA and profitability for FY26 as you look at the portfolio, including the industrial products other than petrol and diesel?
No, FY25-26, everything depends on the crude prices, how it moves. At least in the short term, 3 months or 6 months period, we are hoping the crude will be hovering at these levels only. There is no reason to increase the crude prices much beyond 70 levels, maybe 65 to 70 range or 60 to 65 range. It will continue. As long as crude is at this particular range, definitely the margin side, it is helpful for the OMCs.
Okay, so on the CGD business, can you give us some sense in terms of what are the assets capitalized and how do you see the P&L for the CGD business moving on your standalone GAs over the next 1 to 2 years?
So our total expected capex for all the 26 GAs is put together, the total commitment is 47,000 crore, but this is over a period of 8 years. But already till date, we have spent around 7,600 crore already we have spent. And this year for 25-26, we are approximate 2,000 crore we are capital for CGD business. One good thing is that in the CGD, the volume growth is very good. In the current year itself, 24-25, the CNG sales itself is 81% increase in terms of the volume. So this is one particular segment, the volumes are growing. and our capex is also continuously as per the plan. Minimum work program we are achieving, at least in terms of CNG and industrial customers. We are a little bit behind in terms of PNG connection, but overall we are expecting good volumes and good expansion going to happen in CGD.
Thank you very much, John.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayank Maheshwari from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the call, sir. Two questions from my end. One was related to fuel marketing. If you look at over the last year or so, you have seen a bit of a decline in your market share on retail fuel market, especially on diesel and gasoline, and even on industrial side as well, I suppose you have lost some market share. How are you kind of thinking about from a strategy perspective in terms of the next few years on the market share, and where do you think you kind of settle it on the transportation side specifically in terms of market share for fuels?
Yeah, in terms of market share on a short, we have lost a little bit market share in the last couple of quarters. But if you see in the last 5 years, continuously our market share is growing because we are competing in terms of offering discounts. We want to provide good service to the customers, and our objective and our strategy in expansion of the market share is mainly network expansion and what better services we can give to the customer. That is the reason in the highways mainly we are focusing on the network expansion, and recently we have acquired almost 100 WSA sites, wayside amenities. It is a very large site where we can give good customer services, and that is where actually our focus. We are sure definitely the market share will come back and we'll get our market share expansion going to happen. Because if you see in the earlier years, maybe 2 years back, the private sector participation was not there when the margins are not there. Today, since the margins are very good, every private sector also, they are grabbing a little bit of market share. But our strategy, the long-term strategy, is expand our network and provide good customer services and take digital initiatives, and slowly we increase our market share.
Got it, sir. And the second question was in terms of Kochi refinery on the petrochemical side, can you just give us details around how much EBITDA and earnings you made on the Kochi side on petrochemical?
So PDPP, the production during 24-25 is 251 TMT. It's almost 76% of capacity utilization. Last year it was only 233 TMT, almost 10% increase in terms of the PDPP production side. And gross production margin for petchem was around 579 crore, means it is the additional $0.55 per barrel. The contributed PDPP petrochemicals unit is contributed $0.55 per barrel for the refinery for full year.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Rohra from Smart Sun Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning, and thank you for the call. And sir, I would like to start by telling you that it's been a commendable performance. Especially if you look at the LPG under recovery, what you absorb. Now, sir, I have a question very clearly. As an investor on this point, I mean, if you see in FY24, we reported a profit after tax of about 24,000-25,000 crore. And in this financial year, you've reported 13,000 crore after absorbing about 10,500. So, sir, is my understanding correct that, our profitability, including LPG, because obviously it's a controlled product, so government will compensate you. It's just a matter of time. So can we say that now, our profits have reset to a new standard, and, we can assume that the profits which you've reported over the last 2 years are sustainable profits over the next couple of years, sir? That's my first question.
Let me clarify. For FY23-24, the profits are high mainly because of the spreads. That year, if you see, the GRMs are around $14 per barrel. That time, during the particular year, the Russian discounts are around $8 per barrel, and the spreads are very high. I don't think that particular ecosystem will continue for a longer period of time. But this year is moderated. In terms of spreads also, it has come to the closure to the last 10 years average spreads, it has come to that. And reasonably, the Russian discounts have come down to $3 per barrel. If these two parameters continue, definitely the refining margins will be better and the profitability, we can say, it has maybe somewhere around a better level compared to the earlier years.
Okay, and sir, on the LPG under recovery and the compensation, can you throw some light on, when do you, expect some amount of compensation from the government, sir?
We are hopeful some mechanism definitely, because after increase of 50 rupees, now the under recovery has come down every month. We are expecting around 650 to 700 crore per month for BPCL. And we are hopeful some mechanism will be put in place so that maybe on quarterly basis we can get the reimbursement whatever under recovery.
Okay. And sir, just one small point. When the Honorable Oil Minister had the press conference, at that point of time he said that the LPG prices will be looked at on a monthly basis. So can we assume that we are going towards a period where LPG prices could actually be decontrolled once it's market aligned?
No such communication at this point of no such discussion at any level.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Soumya from Avendus Spark Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So first question is on the CAPEX. Can you help us with the run rate? You said this year it is 20,000 crores. How would it kind of move in the next 2-3 years? And also, in terms of projects, if you can give a broad split, Bina, Gaira, how much have we spent so far? How much is remaining? And for the greenfield, when will the CAPEX start ramping up?
This year, our target for CAPEX is around 20,000 crore. Maybe around 17,200 crore is the direct investment, around 2,700 crore equity investment through our JV. So current year run rate, we are expecting around 20,000 crore for CAPEX. But next year for 26, we are expecting the CAPEX will be 25,000 crore. And in the subsequent year, we are expecting around 30,000 crore. So from there, actually, the peak CAPEX for Bina Refinery will happen. Otherwise, this year 20, next year 25, and subsequent year is 30,000. Broadly, the major CAPEX investment will go for CGD and our Mozambique expansion and Brazil expansion. And for petrochemicals, these three are major areas our CAPEX allocation is going to happen. And current year, out of 20,000 crore CAPEX, we have allocated around 5,900 crore for refinery and pipelines around 2,400 crore. And marketing, 5,600 crore we have allocated, out of which 2,500 crore is for RO expansions. This is the broader capital allocation for this year.
Helpful, sir. Just one question. So this 20,000, 25,000, and 30,000, within this, are we including anything for the greenfield, or the greenfield will come at a later stage?
AP refinery, we are not included anything because once FID is approved by the board, then we will have the scheduled CAPEX plan. But otherwise, whatever numbers we are giving, this is excluding the AP refinery project.
Got it, sir. Sir, also on your crude sourcing, you did mention about the Russian crude sourcing mix change QOQ. If you could just help out with the other crude sources, let's say Q3 versus Q4, broadly, what was the mix change there?
Q3, Russian was 34% and Q4 it is 24%. And from Saudi, Q3 is 19% and Q4 is 21%, slightly 2% increase. And Abu Dhabi 18 to 16, 2% down. And Iraq is around 10%. And Oman Q3 is 1% and Q4 is 7%. And US WTA Q3 it was 13%, whereas Q4 it is only 5%. Because this percentage varies every quarter on quarter, depends on what commercially available crude is available. For example, if the Russian crude discounts are better and more crude is available, Russian will take more crude. If WTA discounts are available commercially, which is feasible for the refinery and which gives more value to the refinery, accordingly, we take those sources. These sources vary every quarter and quarter.
Sure, sir. The detailed breakup is quite helpful, sir. Just one small clarification on the petchem margin, gross margins that you said. At EBITDA level, would it be positive, sir? At gross margin, you said 579 crores. At EBITDA level, would we be positive, sir?
EBITDA level positive. EBITDA level definitely positive. But after depreciation, including my marketing margin, it is positive.
Helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Dean from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. Sir, I have two of them. Firstly, on Mozambique, now that the project's possibly looking like it's coming back to life, what, assuming that the July timeline holds in terms of work starting, could you please kind of give a sense of how things are likely to progress in terms of timeline? We're looking at how many trains, by when they are likely to come. Also, will we have to find fresh contracts, or the old MOUs are still relevant, valid? Plus, very broad guess on how much has the cost escalation gone for the project?
One is on the contract side, most of the contracts in the project side, it is on valid as on date, and every contractor they have agreed, and the major contractor they have given notices to the subcontractor to restart the work any point of time. So on the project side, the contracts are valid. On the sales side, all SPAs are valid. Certain SPAs have been revised, but some quantities the operator has taken the commitment. So on the SPA side also there is no issue. On the project financing side, the major lender has also agreed, US Exim Bank. They have initially committed $4.7 billion. In the month of March, US Exim Bank also, they have agreed for continuation of the project finance. So all the three are intact. Now, anytime they can restart the work. And project timelines, the operator is still committed. Operator is confirming they can complete the project by July 28th. That was the original schedule in the recent dates what they have announced. We have to wait and see after the restart of the project. They may give the revised schedules if any changes are there.
And the likely capex inflation you would...
Initial project is approved at $15.4 billion, but after that, 1 year back, operator indicated the revised costing will be around $19.4 billion. That was the latest estimation they have given.
That's for how many trains? That's 10 million tons.
That's right. Two trains.
9.6 million tons, right? Yeah.
6.1.
That's
13
million tons. Okay. Okay. And sir, just on this, you're currently at about, on Russian crude, you said about 24% is where you are. Now with crude prices themselves flirting with $60 or so, the Russian crude price is now well below the cap and all of that. How does that really change pricing over there? Does that automatically, since it's below the cap, it can be sold more freely without, with less of trouble and less of the worries on insurance, etc. Does that typically impact the discount on Russian crude? I mean, does it take it down? I mean, over this period?
If the Russian crude is available less than the price cap, then there will be more buyers. So definitely what you are expecting, there may be a reduction in the discount, but as on date, still discounts are there, $3 discounts are there. But definitely there are new buyers are coming for Russian crude, even in fact, recently that Turkey is buying more crude and Syria is buying more crude from Russia. So the availability for Indian buyers slightly it has reduced. That was the region in the last quarter, it was 24%, but slightly this quarter it has improved. We are expecting out of total throughput, maybe 30 to 32% Russian crude still we can process, availability point of view.
Okay. And so just last thing on, I am cognizant of the fact that you do not calculate inventory losses separately, but just for our understanding, since GRMs have been and the premium to Singapore has also been so volatile in the last few quarters, you clocked about $9 this time. In the current market environment, how should we, are you in that ballpark even today in terms of how things have changed? Because we are a little surprised from $5.6 how things have jumped to $9, where Singapore hasn't really changed that much. So, I mean, just to kind of get a sense, is the current kind of margins tracking something similar? Or, of course, there could be an element of inventory loss which would have come up in April, but yeah.
Reasonably, the spreads are good. Even today also, the spreads are hovering at good level. And Russian product is available. Only everything depends on Russian discount. If Russian discounts are still continued at $3, $3.5, refining margins will be better because our throughput of Russian is almost 34%. Other than that, everything is same. Our yield is around 84%. The diesel volume weightage is higher. Everything is same. No major changes. Yes, inventory, there may be some cargoes of old inventory may come into this particular quarter, one or two cargoes. I don't know exactly what would be the impact. Otherwise, things are normal only.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the follow-up. So, in terms of the impact of the increase in excise duty which has been absorbed by the industry, how would it impact your marketing inventory accounting? And secondly, if you look at the CGD business once again, is it possible to tell us, you know, what will be the delta in terms of EBITDA over FY26-27? Will it be meaningful or will it be more like FY28 in terms of the forward estimates?
So this revision which happened on the excise duty was post 31st of March, and hence it will not have any impact, at least it did not have any impact on the results of the 31st of March. So this is only a post-April event, and hence that does not have any impact.
No, I was asking more about, you know, the current quarter or for FY26.
Because the sale price is same, whatever excise duty, additional excise duty we have absorbed, to the extent the margins will be lower.
That's it.
Okay. And on the CGD business?
CGD business, what was your question on the CGD business?
So we just wanted to get an idea in terms of what is the, you know, delta in terms of EBITDA for the company from the standalone GAs in FY26 and 27, and when do you see that, you know, making a meaningful impact in terms of your, you know, results?
As of date, the EBITDA contribution from the gas business is not very significant because still we are in the capex mode and expansion mode. But the volumes we are getting this year, we have in the CNG SMU. So EBITDA contribution wise is not very significant. Only we have to wait and see, maybe 27, 28, we are expecting entire our MWP will be completed and significant volumes will come so that we can have a significant EBITDA contribution from 27, 28 onwards. Otherwise, in terms of the volume, around 2.3 million metric ton of business we have carried out, either directly in our GAs or in our retail outlets of other GAs, including the bulk sales. EBITDA contribution is not significant this year.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kirtan Mehta from Baroda BNP Paribas Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for this opportunity. After the write-off, what are the carrying value for the Mozambique project in our books? And what is the capex that we will have to contribute after the project start? Could you also remind on that?
For Mozambique, the total investment already we have made $2.3 million, $2.3 billion. Almost 19,000 crore we have invested, and we have to invest around another $2.1 billion for the next couple of years. Majorly the investment comes through project financing mode. So with this, the total investment in Mozambique will be $4.1 billion. And carrying value, our impairment is against our investment. These investments are in various locations. Not only Mozambique, it will be Brazil, Mozambique, Russian, and UAE. Four major investments. Again, at all the investments put together, this is the impairment. That individual investment with carrying value, we will share it separately.
Sure, sir. And could you also update on the project status of the Brazilian project? When is the FDP likely to get approved, and what are the activities which has happened there?
Tender they have floated, but tender is still not yet completed. Maybe June, July, they are expecting the tender will be open. After that, maybe the FID will be approved.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Sabri Hazarika from MK Global Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you once again. So two questions. Firstly, on Mozambique, like you mentioned, $2.1 billion. So that is the gross capex of which there will be a debt component, right? So that would be like around 70%. So from your side, the equity will be like, say, 25-30% of that, right?
Right.
Okay, and regarding your LPG losses, so Q3 to Q4, the losses that you have reported is not that significant, given the fact that Q4, the contract prices have gone up seasonally. So did the company do some strategy in terms of like optimizing LPG sales volume, something of that sort? Because it's coming 3,100-200 crore only for both the quarters. Have you done something to restrict the losses or something of that sort?
No, similar trend. Maybe it depends on the volumes. Maybe more or less volume over, but otherwise formula is same only.
Because one of your peers, I think they have reported much higher, almost 20-25% increase in LPG losses, QOQ.
It depends on the volume only. Maybe, I don't know exactly others' volumes, but depends on the volume only. Otherwise, same CP-based formula only. Sale price is same across the industry, and the CP-based landing is same for across the company.
So, Sabri, the CP has been almost around 620-630. That has been the range in the last 6 months. So it's
and there is no big window for LPG for any optimization, doing any optimization.
Got it. And given the fact that oil has corrected to 60, but we have seen LPG held up quite strong. Even the June contract prices are now just down $5. There has been reports that because of the US tariffs and all, there's been big like readjustment which is happening on the LPG flows. So what is your assessment in terms of Arab Gulf LPG versus US LPG and in order to like reduce your own cost of buying LPG and thereby reducing your under recoveries?
Most of the LPG is on term contract, mainly AG based only, Arab Gulf based only. Yes, we are seeing a little bit opportunities in terms of US LPG. We are expecting a $20, $30 per metric ton opportunity in case if we can do any optimization from AG to US. We are exploring certain cargoes where we can do the optimization. Wherever it is possible, we are approaching the suppliers and do the optimization. So we are trying to do some cargoes under this optimization, shifting AG cargoes to the US based cargoes. The benefit is around $20-$30.
$20-$30 net benefit including freight and everything you are getting.
Right.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varatharajan Sivasankar from Antique Stock Broking for closing comments.
I mentioned 340 outlets added during the year. So as of now, like, you know, what will be the net number in terms of our own CGDs based, like, you know, CNG stations and the total, like, you know, the CNG stations, including the other GAs as well?
So we have total 2370 CNG stations as on 31st March 25. So about 840 are in our own GAs and about 1530 are in the retail outlets in other GAs, other companies' GAs.
This 800 odd number, what you are referring to is like, you know, your 20 odd GAs
yes,
that we have.
That's correct.
Thanks a lot. So I would like to thank the management and the participants for taking time out to join today's call. Always a pleasure to have you. Thanks again and have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.